This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Welcome to the third week of Advent, the Church's time of preparation for the great celebration of the real Christmas. This is the time to find the true message of Christmas in the themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. But that's not easy in a world that makes us feel such things are in very short supply, especially if our own lives are troubled and our world seems full of challenges. So, if you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, you might like to dip into the series of four short talks that Bishop Tricia has prepared, one for each week of December. The first one was all about hope, even in times of darkness. Last week, the theme was peace, but a different kind of peace. And this week, the theme is joy, joy beyond all joys.
Now, Mary's joy is remarkable not because her circumstances are easy, but precisely because they're not. She is young, she's vulnerable, and she's overshadowed by uncertainty. Her future is unclear. She's been given a calling that's going to disrupt her life beyond anything she could have anticipated. In fact, her life was going to become harder, not easier. Her joy doesn't come after everything is sorted out. It comes in the midst of the unknown. It's a joy rooted not in what she possesses already, nor how well her life seems to be going, but in whom God is and what God is doing. Mary rejoices because she recognises that she's in God's presence. And she recognises that God is already at work.
The talks are available as individual podcasts, and each includes a Bible reading, a reflection by Bishop Tricia, and a short prayer. And there's a booklet too, where you can read Bishop Tricia's words, find some thoughts for reflection, and some small practical ideas that we can try to plant those Advent values of hope, peace, and joy in our daily life. You can find the podcasts via the Manx Radio website. They're right next to the podcast of this programme, and they're called Through Advent with Bishop Tricia. And in the podcast notes, I've put a link to the website, sodorandman.im, where you can read and download the booklet. Later in the programme, there'll be some music from folk singer and songwriter Kate Rusby. But we're starting with a piece of locally produced music that's a great favourite at this time of year. Our own Matt Creer and his lovely, tender version of Gabriel's Message.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came. His wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame. All hail, said he, thou lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, Gloria. For know a blessed mother thou shalt be, all generations laud and honor. Thy son shall be Emmanuel, by seers foretold, most highly favored lady, Gloria. Then gentle Mary meekly bowed her head, to me be as it pleaseth God, she said, my soul shall laud and magnify his holy name, most highly favored lady, Gloria. Of her Emmanuel the Christ was born, in Bethlehem all on a Christmas morn. and everyone throughout the world forever saved. Most highly favored Lady Gloria.
Matt Creer and Gabriel's Message. Last Thursday evening, I should have been down on the North Quay here in Douglas, along with hundreds of other people, moving through a series of marquees, each telling a part of the story of Christmas. It was to have been a new presentation of the Nativity story, something that the churches do every year at the invitation of Oliver Cheshire from Douglas City Centre Management. You might remember that for some years we were down on the promenade on the old Villiers site. But because of the stormy weather forecast, it was decided that for everyone's comfort and safety, Christmas Live would be cancelled. And so Pioneer Minister Reverend Alex Brown, who works closely with Oliver Cheshire to produce Christmas Live, invited the volunteers who'd done so much preparation for the event to come to the upper room in St Ninian's Church. And that's where I caught up with him. And he was quite open about his own feelings on Thursday night.
I don't feel happy, I can tell you that. The decision to say no to it was really hard. Oliver Cheshire, he's the man from the town centre who kind of initiated the whole thing and has done all the background planning. I do the nice creative stuff. He does all of everything else with his team. And it was us two that really had to make the no decisions. We phoned the Met Office and they said, this is what the weather's going to be like. Their health and safety people said, it's your call. We just had to say no. And saying no, I just felt my heart sink. We got the team together tonight. So instead of being on the prom, all the people who were involved in making it happen, we came upstairs here to St Ninian's Church and watched a very short Christmas movie with each other, had takeaways, and just said congratulations to each other because they've done so much work. Judy, there was a lady here who had spent 2 months sewing our angel costumes, and just to say no just didn't feel right. And there was a real sense of camaraderie in the room, a real sense of hope that we're going to do it next year. So future hope in there as well, but also sadness. And, you know, it's okay sometimes to feel sad with each other.
But at the same time, and as you so rightly said, there was a great sense of camaraderie here tonight. And I think that probably the biggest lesson that everyone's taken from this is maybe from the outset, look for an undercover venue right from the beginning. Do you think that's possibly a key takeaway?
Yeah, next year we need to, even if we plan that we will try to do it outside, we need to have the contingency of an inside building. So Emma Nudd from Broadway and myself and Oliver Cheshire are like the key team. So we're going to start thinking probably about February, March, what do we do? Do we just go for an indoor venue? Do we try to go outside again? Because there's something just wonderful about being outside and going from place to place. So you do feel like you're on a journey. But if we could find an indoor venue that was big enough to still have those giant marquees in, that would be such a gift.
This whole event is very much in line with your pioneer ministry, isn't it? This idea of being out where people are, rather than saying, come here to where I am, I'm coming to where you are. It's very much in a pioneer spirit, isn't it?
Yeah, and the whole generation of doing it quite differently. So we had done the Christmas story in the same way for a number of years. If you're doing a front-facing nativity play, there's only so many ways you can rephrase what they're saying, because you do want to have Mary say the same words, you do want to have the shepherds say the same words, the angel's going to say the same thing. And I just thought to myself, we need to shake it up a bit. And what I really would love is people who have never really engaged with the Christmas story before to feel like they're living it, to feel like they're moving through time and meeting these characters for the first time. So Mary can say, this is how it felt for me when the angel approached me. And the shepherds can say, this is how it felt for us to go and hunt for this child. You know, that was really important to me. So that is, I mean, in the story that you can hear on the website, that's all there. But it was really important to me that it felt personal. So again, moving from venue to venue in small audiences rather than in one big audience. So there's only really ever about 20 kids and 20 adults. That for me was just really special.
What impressed me was the way that you end up not just with the end of the Nativity story, but the end is St Nicholas. Talk to me about that, Alex.
Yeah, so we wanted to find a way that we could show that the Christmas story is still having an impact today. We wanted a person of faith, and who better to choose than St. Nicholas himself. So people call him Father Christmas because basically the way that we celebrate Christmas today with our giving and receiving of gifts on Christmas Eve is down to him and what he was doing in secret, because the church that he was in, this Turkish place, and the Roman army had made it illegal to follow Jesus at that time. So under cover of darkness, there he is. He's got this family fortune. He's giving it away because the gift of Jesus to him needs to be continuing to look after the poor, continuing to tell people about faith, about Jesus, about this story. So at the end of our show, St. Nicholas looks at the audience and says, will you join me in doing this? Will you help people who are poor? Will you give and make presents? And will you keep doing this tradition that I'm starting off? So at no point are we commenting on the Father Christmas that people see today, which is quite a far cry, I think, from who St. Nicholas is. But we are saying this is the same journey, the same train of thought, which is really important.
We look at our world and there is a heaviness, there's a darkness. Every time we look at the news, there seems to be a new place of conflict. But more than ever, I've been aware this year that the Christmas story was not a story born out of peaceful times and happy places. For Mary and Joseph, they didn't want to make this journey. They were forced to go and take part in a census. They were in troubled and difficult times.
Even the wise men, or the magi, they were spiritual seers who were not Jewish, from a different culture, who were interpreting omens in the sky, which is against Jewish religious law. So for them, coming into Jerusalem, into the centre of the Jewish hub, if you like, knowing that even their practices would have been revolting to the Jewish people, but they feel God saying to them, follow the star, you're going to find a new king. And they're interpreting possibly this omen from Balaam, you know, like hundreds and hundreds of years before. So even for them, they're outsiders in an occupied land, and they're outsiders to the person that they think they're going to find. God just draws all these people together, and he draws peace in. I'm really struck by that when the angel says to the shepherds, this is going to be the start of peace on earth. And like you, Judith, we look at the world and we think, well, here we are 2,000 years on. Where's this peace on earth that we're talking about? But it's to do with peace that God's going to bring inside us, and how we then become the peacemakers. It's reliant on us making a difference in the world where we are, not just sitting back and waiting for God to bring this miracle peace. But if we're not doing anything about it, if we're not becoming people of peace, then what are we expecting the world's going to look like?
But is it also God saying, I am here in all this mess and conflict with you?
Yeah, there's a moment in the story that we wrote where the shepherds went in and they saw Jesus in the manger, and Jesus puts his hand out and grabs the finger of one of the shepherds and won't let go. And the shepherd's looking at this baby dressed in rags, just the same as him, holding onto his finger and thinking, well, if this is the Messiah that we've been waiting for, maybe even the fact that he's holding onto me and saying, I'm not going to let go of you with his actions, maybe that's something God's trying to say to us in the middle of all of our lives. I'm here and I will not let you go.
I'm looking at you and listening to you, and I feel that you are burning with the same energy and enthusiasm as though you just heard the story for the first time. But you have been preaching and teaching about this for a number of years. Does it still excite you all over again?
Oh, every year. And this year, Judith, we're doing some podcasts as Pioneer. I've been following the Isaiah passages that we read every Sunday. And honestly, as I go through them, I'm thinking, Isaiah's saying this stuff about Jesus 700 plus years before he's even seen him, and he's not even able to grab hold of him. And he knows what he's going to be like, that he's going to be characterized by the miraculous, that he's going to be a man of integrity, that he's going to be from David's line. It's all this stuff that so clearly is who Jesus is. And this Sunday, the Isaiah passage talks about how the eyes of the blind will see and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped and the lame will leap like a deer. And when John the Baptist is struggling with his belief, he sends runners out to Jesus. And Jesus quotes that back to him. This is what you're seeing happen right now. And I know that I'm seeing those things happen in our day where we are. So all this amazing stuff that characterized Jesus' ministry then is still characterizing Jesus' ministry now. That's why it's so important to me, is the Jesus that we read about in Scripture hasn't changed, hasn't gone anywhere. He's still with us. He's still here. He still won't let go. And he still is here to show himself to people, to reveal himself to us as soon as we open ourselves up to him.
But there is still one part of Christmas Live that you can enjoy. It's something I mentioned on the programme last week, and it is the Story Podcast. Alex has written a really lovely Christmas story. It's a very imaginative retelling of the Nativity story, and it's there on the Christmas Live website to download and listen.
Oh, yeah, that's totally available. So if you'd like a podcast story that you can have with your children before they go to sleep, maybe one chapter a night for six nights. Each episode's only about 10 minutes long. And it's got sound effects and music introduction, all the right things that you'd hope an audiobook would have.
It's a soothing story. It's a comforting story. You've got enough days now between now and the big day to share the Story Podcast. It's so easy to access. Christmaslive.im. And you'll find it episode by episode, six episodes in all. And just enjoy. If I were to tell you that for our next feature, I'm standing in the doorway of New Life Church in the heart of Ramsey, even if you live in that area, you might well be thinking, where's New Life Church? If I tell you I'm in Chapel Lane opposite the Citizens Advice Office, you'll probably say, oh, that's Ramsey Independent Methodist Church. And you would be perfectly right. The church that's in the dedicated care of the Price family, Heather, Rachel and Tim. And as we'll hear in a minute, New Life is more of a prayer for the whole island rather than just a new name for a church which is always looking for new ways to reach out and serve the local community. And their Christmas light display inside the church, which opens this afternoon at 4 o'clock, is their latest gift to us all. I popped into the church a few days ago whilst Heather, Rachel and Tim were putting the finishing touches to a series of illuminated scenes, models, artwork and pictures which collectively tell the story of the birth of Jesus. I asked how this all came about.
Usually around the end of October we start thinking, right, what are we going to do for Christmas? And then we have about 6 weeks to pull it all together. This time, theme of light seemed to stick out. There seems to be so much sort of darkness around, so much hopelessness. And we just thought that because Jesus is the light of the world, why not use light to tell the Christmas story? I mean, people have so many different versions of what Christmas is to them. There's the Father Christmas, and there's the traditional wintry scenes and all that kind of aspect. There's the sort of partying and the food and all that. But we really wanted to make sure that we communicated biblical Nativity story, because that's the one that's actually going to give people hope in the middle of the year when the problems are all coming. Father Christmas and the elves aren't actually going to help you, but Jesus can.
This is something that people can just walk in and walk around and just look at the story told in so many different ways. And is that just what you want to happen?
That's what we want, really, because we know people put displays outside and everybody likes to go around and have a look at them. And we thought we would put on an indoor display for anyone who wanted to come and see it. We'd do it for the town, the island. There's no pressure. You just walk in, it's free. Walk around and have a look at everything.
Tell me a little bit about New Life Church. Why have you changed the name, Heather?
Well, we thought it was more relevant to what we are today, the sort of services we have. And we think that people today need new life in Jesus. And so that's what we're trying to offer. Very much Bible-based, really. So we have a service every Sunday morning. We have a prayer meeting, not every Sunday night, but some Sunday nights. And we've tried to put midweek things out on the internet because not everybody can get out during the week, but at their own time, they can have a look at something.
Now, this is the thing that I've noticed, that you do work hard on your online presence. You did during COVID, and you've kept that going. So there is always material on your YouTube channel that people can look at if they're wanting a little bit of support, as you say. So is that an important part of the church's ministry?
I think it's an area that we want to develop. Because so many people are online, it really does seem to be an important place.
But nevertheless, it's a lot of work, isn't it? That and keeping the Sunday services. It really is a ministry.
Yes, you do really have to approach it that way.
I'm standing in the doorway now, and there is a life-size model of Mary and Joseph, and next to it is a straw bale that's just inviting little people to sit on that and have their photograph taken. Is that what you would like to happen, Heather?
Yes, we thought that children may like to have their photograph taken in the stable.
And then we come into the church, and I don't want to give too much away, but there is an amazing angel. There's a very unusual Christmas tree, some wonderful wise men, and a beautiful stable. It is a lovely atmosphere. Now, it starts today at 4 o'clock. It's going to be open every day, open from
4 till 8 every day, and then Sunday the 21st, we're having this carol service, and then the light disposal sort of carry on until 8 at night then.
If you're down in Ramsey and you're doing a bit of shopping, pop in. Now, what's the easiest way of describing where the church is? What's the best landmark?
Maybe the courthouse, and College Street is opposite the side of the courthouse. So you go down College Street and you're in our porch.
At the very end, you're displaying something that for you draws all of this together.
We thought it'd be appropriate to include one display that uses the words of the last verse of A Little Town of Bethlehem. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. And we may be familiar with that, just the last verse of a familiar carol, but I feel like it can be a really appropriate prayer that we can make our own if we want to.
Thank you to my guests, Heather and Tim Price. The Christmas light display is in New Life Church at the bottom of College Street, opposite the courthouse in Ramsey, and it's open today and every day up to and including next Sunday the 21st from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's all free, and that carol service that Tim mentioned is at 4 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. Kate Rusby's singing of O Little Town of Bethlehem is in the style of a village carol. But what exactly is a village carol? Well, it's a fascinating story, and you could be part of the next chapter. To find out more, be sure to join me at this time next week when my guest, Andrew Cole, will tell us all we need to know. But right now, it's time for us to take a look at yet another packed notice board, and we start with news for today, Sunday the 14th. Bride Methodist Sunday School Nativity Service is this afternoon at 2:30. The Sunday School children will take part, and the service will be followed by hot drinks, mince pies, and shortbread. Also this afternoon in Union Mills Chapel, Musicale will present a selection of Christmas music starting at 2:45, with refreshments afterwards and a warm welcome for all. Balaff Parish Church invites you to Carols by Candlelight with guest soloists Jeff and Sue Collier tonight at 6:30. Also at 6:30 tonight, there's a candlelit carol service at Glenmay Methodist Chapel, followed by tea and mince pies. On to the week ahead now, and the popular Shanty Singers will be in Bagarrow Chapel on the main road just outside Kirkmichael this Tuesday evening to present Mine's a Shanty at Christmas. Seasonal shanties followed by seasonal refreshments. It's all free and it starts at 7:30. Let's go next to the Cool Chapel on Cool Road at the top of the Isle of Man Business Park. And they've got two carol services this week. The first is on Tuesday the 16th at 7 o'clock. It'll be led by Reverend Joe Smart. The soloist is Mrs. Christine Bragazzi, and there'll be special items by the young people of the chapel, with seasonal refreshments after the service. Then the following day, on Wednesday the 17th, there's a short lunchtime carol service starting at 1:15, when members of the Isle of Man Business Park will take part. And again, this will be led by Reverend Joe Smart. And it's designed to fit into a lunch break, especially for anyone working in the business park. Balaff Parish Church invites you to join them on Friday evening for their Nativity in the Church, with local children taking part. And that starts on Friday evening at 6:30. Also on Friday the 19th at 6:30, it's Christmas in the Barn at Ballacregan Farm on Sound Road in Glenmay. Traditional carols, nativity scenes and animals, with music led by the Crosby Silver Band. Children and adults are welcome to come dressed up to join in the nativity scenes. There are costumes available to borrow if you come early. After the service, there'll be tea and mince pies. Sound Road is at the bottom of the hill in Glenmay, on the left if you're coming from Peel, and the farm is at the end of the road. There's plenty of parking at the farm. On to next Saturday the 20th, and the Scout Association Isle of Man and Girl Guiding Isle of Man invite everyone to join them at 6 o'clock in St Ninian's Church here in Douglas for a service of distribution of the Bethlehem Peace Light. These are candles lit from the everlasting flame that burns at the place where Jesus was born in Bethlehem and distributed around the world by a network of scouts and guides. The service will be conducted by the local scout chaplain, Reverend Steve Heron, and peace lights will be available at the service for anyone who would like to take one back to their own home or to their church. That's in St Ninian's Church by the Glen Crutchery Road traffic lights here in Douglas. Also next Saturday is the Sandygate Chapel service of lessons and carols. Everyone is welcome, and Sandygate carols are next Saturday evening at 6:30. I know of 12 carol services taking place around the island next Sunday, the 21st. But whilst I've got all the details, I haven't got the time to tell you about them right now. So please do join me later, tonight at 9 o'clock, when I come back with Sundown. I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge for a great selection of easy listening music, plus your requests and dedications, and loads more notice board news. And so, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love the deeper joy of this Advent week, and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.